Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're all guilty of it at times. There's something to be said for being present in the house of the Lord, for making the effort to be here, obviously, but sometimes even I find myself saying or singing something, but my body language is saying something else. Sing a song and I say, "Fill me up, God," but it's kind of hard for him to do that when I still have the lid on. My body language and my posture says, I'm here. Well, it's good. I'm glad you're here. But I believe God has something for you, and I believe God wants to pour out upon you. So Lord, I want my body posture to match the words that I'm saying. Fill me up, God. So I believe the raising of the hands is not only a sign of submission, it's not only something that the Bible expresses that we should do, but it's also figuratively a funnel. It's a sign of openness, a sign of submission, a sign that says, Lord, I don't only sing it and say, fill me up, but Lord, I want you to fill me up. I want to leave here different than the way I came. I don't want to be discouraged when I walk out. I came discouraged. I came depressed. I came feeling ill in my body, but Lord, I don't want to leave the same way. I won't go home the way I came in Jesus' name. I won't be bound, depressed, tormented, sick, or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. I won't go home the way I came in Jesus' name. So fill me up, God. Fill me up, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We serve such a good God. So patient. So long-suffering, so merciful. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles and you would be so kind, while you're turning to Psalms chapter 105, remind you, ladies, if you are desirous of going to ladies' conference in Effingham, today is the last opportunity to turn in your registration. Go and be a part of that conference. If you're desirous of going, there is happening this Friday night, Saturday, First Apostolic Church of Aurora, having their youth week services. And you say, well, I'm not young anymore. Well, if you're young at heart, I'm sure you can go and be blessed, be strengthened. It's always good. Even now, when I have opportunity to go and be a part of youth conventions and youth services, and even though I aged out of the youth department some time ago, it still does my heart good to see young people gathering together, worshiping the Lord. So we encourage you, if your schedule permits, you have opportunity to do so, to make the effort to go be a part of those services. Next Sunday, Bread Sunday, come. I've been caught up on your Bible reading so we can honor you therein. I will start with a little story. I was chuckling on my way to church this morning, and my wife said, what's so funny? And I said, I just read a post from a friend of mine, actually a guy that worked on the youth team with me in Florida, and he's now pastoring a church in Middleburg, Florida. And he posted on Facebook that his wife was to do the speaking this morning, but they have, I believe, four children, and two of their four had become sick, and so he was up putting stuff together and compiling his notes. And his oldest daughter, little Loretta, she's a fun one, boy. She's a little older than Kinsley, I think. And she looked at him, and he was preparing all of his notes, and She said, "Wow, Daddy, that looks really long." And he said, "Oh no, honey, it's actually really short." And she said, "Well, that's good, because then I won't be bored so long." He said, "As a pastor, your children have a way of humbling you." Yes, they do. I say that to say this, I will not be long in my comments tonight. And if you have your Bibles, Psalm chapter 105. You're reading in verse number 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they did hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. King sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. I want to pay particular attention to three verses of scripture that we read from. Verse number 18. Bible referring to when Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. Bible says, whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. Those of us that know the story of Joseph, there's quite a bit that happens between verse 18 and verse 20. Quite a bit that goes on in Joseph's life between the time that he was hurt with fetters and was laid in iron to the time that the king sent and loosed him. Quite a bit that takes place. And verse number 18 is where I want to draw your attention. The Bible says, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. I want to speak to you upon this subject. The same word. The same word. Same word. And we pray, dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house to lift you up and magnify your precious name. And I pray you open the hearts and minds of your people in this place, God, that your word would go forth, God, that it would truly do as the word says, the song that we sung earlier, permeate all my soul, God. We would allow your word to speak to us, God, to renew us in the spirit of our mind, to wash us, to regenerate us, God, to help us understand the way in which you work. The same word, God, which we triumph in is the same word which tries us, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to help us, God, to open our understanding, to see the way in which you work and how you move among your people. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The same word. Many of us, throughout our lives and our experience with God, we have asked for, we have told others, or we have even mentioned along the lines of something like this: I need a word from the Lord. I need a word from God concerning this situation or concerning this circumstance, or I need a word from the Lord. I need something to give me assurance. I need the Lord to somehow speak into my heart and my life, whether it's through the preaching or through prophecy or through promises that I read in His Word, or maybe even visions and dreams that I have. I want a word from the Lord. I want God to reassure me that He knows where I am, that He knows where I'm going, that He knows what I'm going through. And I want to experience the glory and the splendor and the victory and the triumph. I want to experience the promises and the prophecies and the things that have been said over me, or things that have been said to me, and men and women of God who have spoken into my life. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that the word that they spoke was a word of the Lord. Was a word that I felt and that I was assured of. It was for me. It was something I had been dealing with, or something I had been praying about, and all of a sudden the word came. I was excited, and I was uplifted in spirit, and I was encouraged, and I was strengthened, and I was helped, because when I asked for the word, the word came. Sometimes there is a period of time between the word and the word. Sometimes there is, and it is on God's time schedule, and as God seems fit. Sometimes there is a lapse of time, if you will. There is some events that take place and something goes on. And though initially I received my word or the prophecy or what was spoken over me, and I felt that it was God speaking to me at the time, it's been a while now, and it really hasn't happened. That word that was spoken hasn't come to me yet. It hasn't really been fulfilled. It's been said or it's been spoken, but I haven't seen it come to fruition in my life. I haven't seen that word that was spoken unto me, that thing that gave me strength, that word which uplifted my spirit. I haven't seen it happen. Maybe even there was a timetable, or maybe I even thought that it was going to happen within this certain period of time, and it just hasn't come to pass yet. Bible tells us that Joseph was sent from God. Joseph was given dreams at a young age. Best we can tell, it's about age 17 that Joseph, Bible says, he's already despised and hated by his brothers. Joseph has a dream. Joseph goes to his brothers and he tells them this dream that he has. He tells them, "Fellas, I had a dream." Great. Oh, can't wait to hear it. You see, I had a dream that we were working in the field and my sheaf rose up and all of your sheaves bowed down unto my sheaf. Come on, Bo. Really? We already don't like you. And now you're telling us we're going to serve you, that we're going to bow down before you, that we're going to make obeisance unto you. And the Bible says they hated him the more. Joseph had a word. Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a vision as to what was to come to pass. And he expressed the same unto his brothers. And then he said, "Yeah, I've had another dream." Oh, goody. As if the first one wasn't swell enough. He said, "I had a dream. The sun and the moon and 11 stars, they made obeisance unto me." And now even his own father, Jacob, rebukes him, the Bible says. Come on, dude, you know what you're doing. You know what's happening here. They already hate you. The Bible says they could not even speak peaceably unto Joseph. They despised him because Jacob made it obvious. He loved Joseph more than all his brethren, the Bible says. Because he was the son of his old age. And he gave unto Joseph this coat of many colors, this thing that signified that Joseph was the treasured one, that Joseph was the one that he adored, that he loved above all others. And though Joseph had the love of his father, the love of his brethren was non-existent. They didn't love him. They didn't care for him. They hated him. They despised him. Many of us know the story. They come up with this plan, and at first they're going to kill him, but the brother intervenes, and Reuben says, "No, we can't do that." And they throw him in the pit while Reuben is gone. The Ishmaelites are coming by, and they look into them and say, "Hey, we got somebody we want to sell you. The price of a servant, 20 pieces of silver." They sell their own flesh and blood. They sell their brother into the hand of the Ishmaelites. Wonder what Joseph thought. "But I have these dreams. But the word of the Lord was that they would bow down to me. And now they have placed me in fetters and in iron. And now I'm being sold as a slave to the Ishmaelites. I don't understand this, God. Your word is such that I'm going to rule. And that they are going to serve me. But now I'm serving others. Now I am bound, and now I am sold into slavery myself. And Lord, I don't really understand this." The Bible says, many of us know the story. It's a pretty popular story. Matter of fact, before we came, I looked down in our kids' DVD collection, and I found, because I knew we had it somewhere among all the VeggieTales and everything else that we had, astounded. And a few years ago, DreamWorks came out with an animated film that was pretty good, actually. It was called Joseph, King of Dreams. And it's the story of Joseph. So popular was the story that they made it into an animated feature film. And though it does take some artistic liberty, it's pretty close to the story. It's a popular story, and we know that Joseph sold into slavery, and then he goes and he's purchased by Potiphar, and he's in Potiphar's house, and he ascends, he rises through the ranks, if you will, and he becomes a servant over everything in the house. Now it seems as if he is on his way, as if that word is on his way, as if somehow, some way God is going to use this circumstance and being in Potiphar's house. And now he has risen through the ranks. And though his brothers, the Bible says, wouldn't even speak peaceably unto him, and they hated him, now he's in a household that love him. They appreciate him. They look kindly unto him. So much so that now Potiphar's wife has an eye for him. Brothers wouldn't speak peaceably unto him. He had no love from his brethren in his own household. But now he's in the house of Potiphar, and he has control over all his goods. And now Potiphar's own wife is making her intentions known unto him. And the Bible says she entreated him day by day. See, Joseph was tried. Not only was he tried in the hatred of his brothers and how they would not speak peaceably unto him, and division and the disunity that was among his own family. Now he's being tried, for now he's in a house where ruling and reigning and having some power and prestige is available unto him. And now Potiphar's own wife is entreating him day by day. She's giving him words of affection and endearment, and she is looking unto him and trying to get him to commit sin with her. And now it's as if he's experiencing the opposite end of the spectrum. Tried in hatred of his brothers that couldn't even speak peaceably unto him, but now he's tried Potiphar's wife, who was no doubt a very beautiful woman. Now she has found interest in him, and she's making her intentions known. And so it's opposite ends of the spectrum, and now Joseph is being tried again. Joseph, the Bible says, looks at her and says, "I'm sorry, I cannot do this thing. Potiphar has given me all in his house, and I have control over all save you, his wife, and I will not do this thing and sin against God. I won't do it." She becomes jealous, and we know the story, how that she takes his garment from him one day, and then she tells the others that he tried to force himself upon her. And so Potiphar takes Joseph and places him in the prison. "Oh, Lord, what is this? You gave me a word. I had a dream some time ago that this was going to happen. It looked like it was going to happen, but then someone falsely accused and she lied about what happened. I was pure. I did what was right. You tried me, and I didn't fall. But now I'm in a dungeon. Now I'm placed in prison. Now, I'm enduring the suffering of being someone who is incarcerated. But now, even in prison, Joseph begins to once again rise to the ranks. Now he makes his present known, and everything that the keeper of the prison gives him, it prospers. And so he quickly becomes elevated in the prison. And now he's not just someone who's bound, but now he's someone who has some freedom and liberty. Freedom and liberty in his father's house, then bound in fetters by his brothers, and then freedom and liberty in Potiphar's house, and then bound by Potiphar because he did no wrong. Now freedom within the own prison. It's this roller coaster ride, this up, this down. Now, somehow, some way, he's wondering, how's it going to happen? How is it going to be that I'm going to have this word come to fulfillment in my life? How is it going to happen? And he hears about the dreams. One, chief butler and the chief baker that had been put in prison because Pharaoh was upset with them. And they have dreams. Catch this. Understand it. one has a dream. Joseph, I have this dream. It's vine and three branches, and there's grapes. And then I take the grapes, the wine, and I give it to Pharaoh. And I need to know what that means. The three branches, the vines, the fruit, the cup. What does that mean? Joseph said, I can tell you the meaning of the dream. I know a word. And I have a word for you. And the word is this, that in 3 days you're going to be restored to your rightful place as the butler or Pharaoh. And the baker says, oh, I have a dream. I had a dream too. Three baskets upon my head, and the three baskets out of the top with all sorts of meat, and the fowls of the air ate from the basket. Give me a word, Joseph. A word. For the butler was so good, he's going to be restored in 3 days. Oh, Joseph, give me a word, bud. You can interpret dreams. You can tell me. Give me the word. I want the word, Joseph. The same word which told the butler that he was going to be reinstated and restored and be once again in the palace is the same word that looked at the baker and said, in 3 days, he's going to require your life. Same word. The same word that told the butler the good news is the same word that told the baker the bad news. Pharaoh himself has a dream. A dream he doesn't understand, and he tries to get all of those that understand and know supposedly dreams. It's been, the Bible says, some 2 years. 2 years. Joseph told the butler, when you're reinstated, please tell the king that I'm here. Please tell Pharaoh that I'm locked up here in this dungeon. Please. I need the word to come to fruition in my life. Please tell him. But for 2 years, nothing. And Pharaoh has the dream. It's seven fat cows, and then out of the river come seven scrawny, skinny cows, and they devour the fat cows. And up from the earth come seven fat, full, and plenteous ears of corn. And then from the same earth come 7 years of scrawny, decrepit corn, and it consumes. He doesn't understand the dream. He doesn't know. He calls and asks for Joseph and finds out that Joseph is one who can tell his dreams. And so Joseph comes, and Joseph gives him the word. Your word. Seven fat cows and the seven good ears are 7 years of plenty. 7 years of good crop and good harvest and good news. It's 7 years of good stuff. But then there's also within the same word 7 years of famine. Catch it. As I begin to think about this and I begin to look over this and begin to look at the word of God and parallel the story. The Bible says, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. You see, the same word that prophesied and told him of his triumph is the same word that tried him. Catch it. The same word. It told him, one of these days your brothers are going to bow down to you, Joseph. One of these days they're going to make obeisance unto you. The same word, Joseph, is the word that's going to try you, and the word that's going to put you in the dungeon, and the word that's going to have you in prison, and the word that's going to make you suffer and be falsely accused. It's the same word, Joseph. When we say we want a word from the Lord, do we know what we're asking? We know what we're doing. Oh, young handmaids all over the Jewish nation, they desired, one of the reasons why that they were so diligent in making sure their purity is because they had hoped that according to the teachings of the Word of God that there would be one day a virgin that would conceive. And the Word talked about it in the Word. Made it as if this one was going to be highly favored. And yes, the Bible says that when Gabriel came unto Mary, Hail, thou that art highly favored. Blessed art thou among women. Ah! Oh, could it be the word of the Lord has come to me? Could it be that I have been selected? Gabriel makes the announcement that she's going to conceive a child. It's a child of the Holy Ghost. And she says these words. She looks at Gabriel and said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And yet now, belly begins to grow. And first, she wasn't even sure whether Joseph would continue in his betrothal or whether he would put her away. She's accepted this word from the Lord. She's accepted this, "I'm blessed and highly favored, but I have to go and stay with my cousin because of the ridicule." Catch it. What he's saying, Pastor, just this. The same word that will triumph in is the same word that will try us. The same word which will reveal. The same word which we look into. The same word of God which reveals the unrighteousness and the way in which we falter and fail is the same word which will wash us and cleanse us. Same word which sanctifies and saves us. The same word which shows us the paths of righteousness. The same word which helps us. And the same word which leads us. And the same word which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path is the same word according to Hebrews 12:27. And this word yet once more signifieth the shaking of the things which can be shaken. The same word. I know it's not all that deep, and I know it's just something that we need to be reminded of, but we need to understand there's going to come in the midst of the Word of God, there's going to come a trying time, and though the Word may be given, and though we may have a Word from the Lord, until the time that the Word came, the Word of the Lord tried him. How many have forsaken the triumph because they get out in the trial? How many have forsaken all they had a word? But when the word that came, and the word that prophesied, and the word that gave vision and dream, and the word that talked about victory and triumph and the promises that were there, when that same word began to try them, when that same word began to show them and reveal the ways in which they needed to change and the ways that they needed to be, that same word. Lord, help me understand. You see, sometimes the same word which will lead you to a place, and the same word which will call you out, and the same word which will bring you to a place is the same word. Catch this. That will in our own mind and in our own heart is the same word which will cause us to look at it and say, "Wait a second, it hasn't happened yet. Has it come to fruition in my life?" The thing we have to understand is that I can't get out of the process in the midst of the trial, because the same word which now tries me is the same word in which I will triumph. The same word which I go through right now, and the same word which is making sure I got the medal. The same word which is trying me in the furnace of affliction is the same word which on the other side is going to cause me to lift my hands and rejoice and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I stayed in the process." There was quite a distance between. But there's one verse of Scripture that bridges the gap. It's quite a lot that took place between verse 18 and verse 19, but the one verse of Scripture, it makes up what lacked until the time His word came, the word of the Lord tried him. But this is what happened when His word came. He stayed faithful through the process. He stayed in the midst of the trial. He didn't give up. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't say, well, my word hasn't come yet, so I give up. He didn't say, I'm here in this dungeon, and what I thought was destined for me is obviously not going to happen, so I'm done with you, Lord. No, he stayed. And until his word came, he stayed. He stayed in the trial. But this is what happened. When his word came, the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of all his house and ruler of all his substance to bind his princes. Pharaoh said, I give you so much power and control that if one of my princes, my own sons, get out of hand, you bind them. Oh, Joe, dude, you had to deal with some pretty heavy stuff. You had to go through some trial. The word of the Lord tried you, yeah. And when the word of the Lord came, because I had stayed in the process, and because I had stayed faithful to God, and because I stayed through the trial, that same word tried me. And because I came forth as gold, now Pharaoh looks at me and says, if my princes get out of hand, bind them. Teach my senators wisdom. Israel also came unto Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land. And we know the story. Even his own brothers came, and yes, they bowed before him, and they made obeisance unto him. And the Bible said, and he increased his people greatly. How? Through Joseph, and made them stronger than their enemies. Why? Because Joseph understood the same word in which I will ultimately triumph is the same word which now tries me. And if I stay in the process, it will be a process. It will not always be fun. There will be ups. There will be downs. Ins, outs. Feast, famine. Freedom, fetters. Palace and prison. But if I stay, say, well, the word of the Lord came some time ago, and it hasn't happened for me yet, preacher. You just stay. The same word is now trying you. The same word is making sure you're going to have what it takes, because when the time comes for you to be elevated, when the time comes, when your word comes to fruition, as long as you stayed in the process, that same word has tried you. And now you have what it takes to do what God needs you to do. Closing, you can stand your feet. It's the same word. Same word which spoke restoration for the butler. Spoke removal for the baker. Same word that prophesied 7 years of plenty also prophesied 7 years of famine. It's the same word. Same word that reveals that my righteousness is as filthy rags. It's the same word that washes me. It's the same word. And Lord, until my word comes, until the promises come to pass, Lord, let me be patient in the process. And Lord, as your word tries me, as your word makes sure I've got the goods to do what you want me to do and what you've called me to do, Lord, Let me not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Just keep doing. Just keep believing. Joseph, I know you've rode the roller coaster, but you've been favored by your father, hated by your brethren, looked upon the light by Potiphar's wife, and then falsely accused and thrown into prison from the palace. Joseph, it's been up and down. And I know the word came. The word was told. You had the dream at 17 years of age. And now it's been many years. But the word has come. Now you can look back over all those experiences and those encounters and say, the same word which told me of the triumph is the same word which tried me. I come to simply give someone encouragement tonight. Maybe you're here and you're saying to yourself, oh, preacher, there was a word said over me. There was a prophecy. Someone spoke into my life and told me things would be different, but they're not different yet. And I'm waiting on the word to come and for me to triumph, be victorious. My word for you is stay in the process, for the same word which will ultimately bring triumph in your life is the same word which now tries you. Be faithful. Though the enemy tries opposite ends of the spectrum, or some can speak peaceably unto you and others entreat you day by day, be careful what you fall prey to. Come before God and say, Lord, I need your word to reveal whether I'm making the right choice and doing the right things, for the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. The same word. So don't think just because the word hasn't come yet that the word is false. Don't think just because the dream hasn't happened yet that your destiny is different. Don't think because the vision that you had hasn't come to pass that it's not going to understand. It's the same word. All over this house, why don't you lift your hands? Thank you, Lord. You understand. Thank you. Same word. It tries me. The same word which I will ultimately triumph in is the same word which tries me. Lord, help me. Lead me. Guide me. And continue therein. I know. I believe. It will come to pass. The prophecies, the promises, the dreams, the destiny will come. Same word. But until the word comes, that same word will try you. I look forward. I'm optimistic about the outcome, Pastor. I'm looking forward to what's going to happen good. When circumstances indicate different, understand it's the same word trying you. Same word. We're shepherds told the children of Israel, you're about to go into captivity. And you're going to go to be held in a land. It's the same word that says, but after that, you're going to come out.
Help me be still.
It's the same word.
Satan is busy. God is real. Order my steps in your word. Please order my steps in your word.
Give you the power to bind his own princess, but right now you're in a prison.
Lord,
the word's coming. Right now you're in fetters and your feet are hurt with iron, but just stay in the process, Joseph.
Because
one day your word's coming. One day the king's going to say, hey, set him loose. Put him in the palace. Give him power and authority. Process, Joseph. You're going to be the catalyst. You're going to be the one that provides for your whole household. You're going to be the one that causes your own people to grow stronger than their enemies.
Order my steps in your word.
Jesus, for your words. Thank you for the understanding. The same word in which I triumph is the same word that will try me. Thank you. Thank you. The assurance of faith I have in you that if I stay in the process, I will triumph. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. See, the enemy knows. The enemy knows that if you allow that word to try you, that you will ultimately triumph. And so what he wants is for you to give up somewhere in the process so that you forfeit your own victory. Lord, help me to stay true. Help me to walk worthy. Help me, God, follow your will and your way as you order my steps in your word. All over this house, can you lift your hands, lift your voice? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for being in service tonight. You may go in Jesus' name.